reading is Psalm 72. If you want to follow this in the Bibles in the pews, it's on page 585. Psalm 72. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days the righteous will flourish, prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. He will rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. The desert tribes will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Let corn abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. Let its fruit flourish like Lebanon. Let it thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse.
Reading is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 18, page 1087 of the Church Bibles. St. John's 18, starting at verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before I open in prayer, Sp- Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening. Open our ears to hear your word. Open our hearts to receive it. Amen. You may want to have your Bibles open on page 1087, the Gospel reading, John chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. Our first reading, Psalm 72, is a prayer for the king, a song of David, who rules on David's throne as God's earthly regent over his people. It may have been used at the time of the king's coronation. These verses express the desire of the nation that the king's reign will, as a consequence of God's endowment of his servant, be characterized by justice and righteousness, which are the supreme virtues of kingship. So let's turn to our gospel reading. And let's think about that passage as a game of chess. We have two players, Pilate and Jesus, Christ the King, and then the earthly kingdom, all powers. This passage has been analysed as the conflict of kingdoms. In a game of chess, the players are forced to think ahead and to analyse a complex and individual and yet interdependent factors. So let's see how our players are going to do. So to put you in the scene, Jesus is taken during the early hours of the morning from having faced trial by the Jewish rulers to Pilate, the Roman governor of the region. Here we have our two players face to face, Pilate and Jesus. Now in this game, with only four movements, that is to say four questions, Pilate will prove, without realizing, the key topic of this gospel. That is the true identity and mission of Jesus. And that's it. The game will be over. What we are retelling tonight is Jesus' final teaching concerning himself before his resurrection. We are not told what charges the Jews' opponents brought against Jesus to induce Pilate to consider condemning him to death. In the Jewish trial, Caiaphas had asked, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus has said, "Yes." This is written on the other three Gospels, but not in the Gospel of John, which we are looking tonight. Presumably, the opponents translated the matter to Pilate, saying that Jesus claimed to be the King of the Jews. This was obviously a political title and had even been used of Herod the Great. It was a claim that Pilate would have taken seriously, especially given the revolutionary setting in Israel, in which many desired to overthrow Rome. "Are you the King of the Jews?" Pilate asks on verse 33. He's just simply here doing his job by putting the charge to the accuser. Using a direct question, this would be in keeping with the Roman procedures. What would he have expected to hear in response? Perhaps either a denial or a stormy denunciation of Rome. But the answer he gets is something quite different. Jesus neither affirms nor denies his identity as king, but he responds like a king. He speaks of his kingdom and quite calmly focuses the attention on Pilate, asking a question that tests Pilate's heart. Verse 34. Is that your own idea? Pilate does not see how this question could be of interest to him, since he is not a Jew, from verse 35. He has not gone looking for Jesus, but rather Jesus has been handed over to him by his own nation and the high priests. Like the Samaritan woman and other people who had encountered Jesus, Pilate does not understand the full meaning of what Jesus says, because he doesn't realize whom he's speaking with. And as he did with others earlier, Jesus now helps Pilate to understand who he is and what he is offering. Verse 35, Pilate asks what Jesus has done. Jesus, he just follows his practice that is quite common in this gospel, for he doesn't directly address the question put to him. He gives a profound answer. Instead of speaking of what he has done, he speaks of his kingdom, verse 36. Now, in Jewish thinking, kingdom does not refer to a territory. It is an active concept referring a rule. Kingdom of God, then, means God is king. In the Gospels, it includes also the realm or domain of God's rule, in the sense not of a territory but of the community under his rule. Jesus has said a spiritual rebirth is necessary to even see the kingdom. The resources of this world are just not sufficient. You can see this on chapter 3, verse 3, on his teaching to Nicodemus. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now Jesus continues his emphasis by saying his kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is not of this world because he himself is not of this world, and neither are his followers. We see this in chapter 17 when Jesus prays for his disciples. He and his disciples have their source in God and reflect God's own life and character. Both the divine source and the quality of his kingdom are evident. He says, in the fact that his disciples, verse 36, did not fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. Peter, of course, was the odd one out. He did try to do so and was out of step with Jesus and the Father's will, as Jesus told him on chapter 18, verse 11. Jesus' response to the opposition from the Jewish leaders had a divine source, for it was determined by God's rule. Also, his response manifested God's characteristic gracious love. Jesus' kingdom is based on something other than power or protection. It is based on his self-surrender, on his offering of himself for the sin of the world. It is based in love. Christ is the King of love. Jesus is clearly working on a different level, one not of this world. Throughout the gospel, he acts in accordance with his Father's direction. So in a sense, Jesus does answer Pilate's question about what he has done, not by describing his teachings and signs, but by referring to his acceptance of suffering. If one does not realize who he is and why he has allowed suffering to be handed over by his Jews' opponents, however his glory is not evident, nevertheless his arrest and everything else about him bears witness that his kingdom is not from here. His kingdom is from the Father. Now, if Pilate had an open heart, he would have picked up this hint and asked where Jesus' kingdom is from, but he does not. Instead, he focuses on Jesus' reference to my kingdom. His kingdom is quite distinct from other kingdoms, but he does indeed have a kingdom. Pilate picks up on this emphasis and presses his earlier question. Again, this is in keeping with the Roman practice of questioning the defendant three times, and says, "Are you a king then?" Verse 37. Now here is where we find the attributes of a true king. The grace and humility evident in the passion itself comes through also in the gentleness of Jesus dealing with this Roman politician. Jesus replies, "You say that I am a king," verse 37. This is often taken as an affirmative and almost as if Jesus were saying, "You said it." However, it is more likely that Jesus is saying, "That's your term." He is clearly claiming kingship, but he does not commit to the label of king, probably because this is loaded with misunderstanding. You could see that in previous chapter, like chapter 6. This is very much a term of this world. Jesus' further explanation reveals that he is king in a sense that exceeds all other kings. "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world." But if Pilate thought about what Jesus said at all, he would have probably heard it only on a human level, that Jesus was claiming to be like any other child who was born of a prince, in line to become king. Even this would be striking, since there was no such dynasty line functioning in Israel. But Pilate may not have gotten that far in his thinking, for Jesus said that he came into the world not to be the king of the Jews, but to testify the truth. Now, this language makes obvious the contrast between his identity and mission on the one hand and the falsehood of his opponents on the other. He is the king of truth, and he manifests his royal power not by force, but by the witness he bears to the truth. And the truth he refers to is the truth of God. But using the word truth rather than God, Jesus is using language less likely to be misunderstood by Pilate. For he's still dealing here with Pilate himself. "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me," he says. Everyone, whether Jew or Gentile. Now, Jesus continues to walk through this trial on his own terms. Pilate thinks of Jesus as a defendant, but Jesus is taking the part of a witness who has come to testify against the rule of the lie, and for the truth, that is, for God, and for God's claim on the world. So Jesus is asking for Pilate to pass judgment, not on him as a king of the Jews, but on him as the revealer of truth. And he puts pressure on Pilate. For if he does not decide in favor of Jesus, he will judge himself as not being on the side of truth. This expression is more literally of the truth. It refers to one's inner disposition as turned to the truth, to be able to hear the voice of truth. Chapter 8, verse 47 says, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says." Chapter 10, verse 3, "The good shepherd The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Pilate's response, verse 38. What is truth? This is probably not a great philosophical remark, but a dismissal of the whole subject as irrelevant. Pilate has heard enough to determine that Jesus is not a political threat, and therefore he has gotten from the interview, what he was after. Like in the parable of the sower, Jesus has sown a seed, but it has fallen on a beaten path. Pilate does not listen to Jesus, so according to what Jesus has just said, he's not of the truth. The judge has become judged and found self-condemned through his response to Jesus. The Jews' opponents had come to this same place during the course of Jesus' ministry. So now both Jew and Gentile have been given a chance to respond to the one come from God, and they have rejected him. So we have to ask ourselves, are we ready to listen to what Jesus has to say? Is my heart open to receive his kingdom? Is my inner being prepared to turn to the truth? Whoever has ears, let them hear. Let's bow our heads to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. We know the truth, and the truth has set us free. We believe in Christ the King, our Saviour. We pray that as we leave this, your church today, we may not lose sight of this truth. May your grace and gentleness be with us today and always. In the name of Jesus Christ, the King and our Saviour. Amen.